Anybody crazy this morning besides me? Anybody been driven crazy besides me? I shared last week, who's been pushing your buttons? Remember last week I said, you know, who's pushing your buttons? I kind of talked about pushing your buttons, and I talked about people tagging our church. You know, we had tag on the door over here and on the wall, and they did it again this week. They tagged our electrical box over here on the side, the little transformer we got out. What do you do? How do you resolve conflict? What do you do when people drive you up the wall? How do you deal with those issues in your life when it's just aggravating you? You know, that wife, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that in-law, that outlaw, that child, that parent, that I don't know, that's just, what do you do when you're ticked off? Yeah. How do you deal with that? Does anybody have that besides me? Yeah. I'm sure you guys never have those kind of issues, right? Everything's just smooth and calm and nobody ever gets mad in the house. Nothing ever goes wrong. It's just, everybody's so sweet and happy, right? Yeah. Conflict is a reality today. I mean, we live in a world that's just full of conflict. I was reading the newspaper this week, and back in Florida, a couple went to church, and they were sitting at the church, at the movie theater, and waiting for the show, and they, some of the preliminary, like, what do they call those, advertising new shows that are coming out. And they were showing some of those, and the guy in front of me was texting. I don't know, maybe you read this article, maybe you read this. He was texting, and the guy behind him says, quit texting, you know, and kind of got upset with the guy in front of him, and the guy just kept texting. You know? And it was still just kind of the preliminaries of the show, and he got up and went out and told the manager and came back in, and the guy in front of him stood up and said, you go tell the manager? And he goes, yeah. So he threw his popcorn on the guy. The guy pulls a .38 out of his pocket and shoots him dead at the movie theater. You know, how do we resolve conflict? You know, I don't know about you, but I worry, you know, being on the school board, I worry about our schools and the safety at schools. And, you know, again, there's another shooting at a school this week. You know, how do we resolve conflict? I mean, you know, and here's what the problem is. So just to give you a little opinion about myself, I'm not one who campaigns for gun control because I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is we haven't learned to deal with conflict. Does that make sense? You know, I think the problem is we learn all sorts of stuff. Anybody ever go to school? Anybody ever been in school? Anybody? All right, we got somebody that's gone to school. Some of you, maybe need to go back. But did anybody ever have a class called Resolving Conflict in School? Yeah. High school? College? Yeah. We go through and we've learned to react. But what I want to challenge us with this morning, I want us to kind of think about, you know, we can learn to resolve conflict. We can learn to deal with those situations that are uncomfortable. Those situations that cause us trouble in our life and that hurt us in our life. We can learn to deal with those and we can learn to work with those situations. Because I want to tell you something. You know, you can have all the money in the world you want. You can look as beautiful as you like. You may be as talented as you would want to be. But if your relationships are messed up, let me tell you something. Your life's going to be a mess. Isn't that true? Yeah. You can have all you want. And if those relationships, whether it's in the family or at work or maybe a neighbor or wherever it's at, if those relationships aren't working well, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. It doesn't matter how successful you are. It doesn't matter about any of those things. Your life's going to be a mess. So how do we learn to deal with that? And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I have a passage here that speaks to me because some of you have been around a long time. You know Gary has a sarcastic saying. Now, you notice I quoted this. It's sarcastic. Do not do this. But this is what Gary likes to say, okay? Make sure you understand. This is not what you practice. It's not even what I hope I practice. I have a saying. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Everybody agree? But Gary says, gets even, all right? You know, that's the way I was raised. I was raised with two other brothers. We are 1 year apart. My brothers were the same age for 20 days. They had to fight to see who was the baddest during those 20 days, all right, because they were the same age. I grew up in conflict with brothers. I broke my hand hitting my brother. That's a good way to resolve conflict, right? Literally. You know, I broke my hand hitting my brother. I have stitches above my eye because my brother took a little tin shovel and goes, smack! Anybody? Yeah. How do you deal with conflict? You know, how do you deal with that? But here's what the Bible says. Look what it says. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Yeah, thanks. As much as possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. That's what I want us to talk about this morning. How can we live in peace with everyone? I really like that verse. There's two things that verse says for me. You know, as I read that verse, there's two things that really catch me in that verse as I look at that last part. As much as possible. That means as much as I can. I have to work at it. I have to give everything I can, as much as I possibly can. I have to give to make this thing work. But then it goes on, as far as it depends on you. Because the reality is, you know what? There are sometimes some people don't want to have a relationship. Anybody been in those situations? I remember there was a conflict I was having one time, and I had a mediator come in, and we sat at a table, and we have this conversation. We're trying to work through some of the issues, and the individual walking us through this time says something like this. He says, you know what I'd like now is I'd like to kind of step out and just let you two talk for a minute. Would that be okay? And I go, that's fine with me. You know, I would gladly. The other one across the table says, nope, I have nothing to say. As far as it depends on me. See, I have a rule in my life. If somebody has a problem with me, it's going to be their problem, not mine. Because I'm going to reach out to them. If there's a broken relationship, I'm going to make the best relationship I can have. I've shared with you when we had the old blue church sitting here, and I'm in the front of the church, and one of the young ladies here in town, I'm involved in various activities in our community. I want to be part of our community. And she looks at me straight in the eyes, and she goes, Gary, I hate you. You know, and it's like, okay, I'm okay with that, but are you going to be okay with that? And we still communicated. Her child swallowed some pennies. Thank you. Swallowed some pennies, and she calls me up once in a while. I have a metal detector, you know, and yeah, I know what she's going to use it for, but she wanted a metal detector. You know, but we were still friends. I mean, you know, even though I wasn't going to let that stop. You know, I would still talk with her. I'd still call her. As much as it depended on me, I was going to reach out. But how do we do that? Now, I'm going to tell you, that's hard. I'm not going to deny what we're going to talk about today is not easy. All right? But we can learn to do this. We can learn to get along better, even though we live in a world that is just full of conflict. I mean, we just can't get along. And this is the world we live in, but we can learn to get along. And so I want us to look at that this morning. I want you to think about that. But here's what I want you to start first is, you know what, if you don't have good relationships, here's some things that are going to go wrong. Here's some things that's going to happen. If your relationships are messed up, and you're a little worshipful, there's a little outline, got some little lines to fill in. Yeah, if you're close enough, you can see I got all sorts of chicken scratch on mine. And the first one goes like this. If you're out of resolve, and if you have some problems with some others, it blocks my fellowship with God. Now, some of you are Christians here this morning, and some of you are married, and some of you maybe drove here or got here, and maybe you had a very interesting conversation on the way to church. Anybody ever had one of those experiences? You know, you're driving to church, and as you're going to church, you have one of those, what do we tell when our kids would say, you guys are arguing, we'd say, no, we're just having a loud discussion. And you walk into church, and is it kind of hard to get into church after you had that kind of discussion in the car on the way to church? You're ticked off at somebody, you know, parents, kids, you know, your kid's not ready when you're ready to get out the door. You know, kids didn't dress the way you want them to dress, and you're kind of ticked off, and you come to church, and it's like, yeah, I'm in church. Okay, God, speak to me. How do you think that's going to work? You know, it makes it kind of hard to listen to God when you got this conflict going on out here. Makes it kind of difficult. And so we need to learn to resolve conflict. But not only that, it hinders your prayers. You know, if you look at your outline, if you don't, you know, when you're praying, if you got conflict, the Bible's real clear on this one. You know, it makes it hard to communicate with God. Matter of fact, God says he's not going to listen to us. And then it prevents the happiness. I'm going to tell you, you cannot be happy if your relationships are messed up. It just doesn't work. You know, as I thought about this, I kind of thought of Adam and Eve, all right? You know, and my mind just kind of goes crazy sometimes. And I was just kind of thinking what it must have been like Adam and Eve, you know, in the garden. Yeah. They take that forbidden fruit, you know, and they eat the forbidden fruit. And I kind of wonder what that conversation might have been like. Now, this is not Bible, all right? This is just Gary's crazy thinking, you know. Hey, we're having salad today. What's in it? Forbidden fruit, you know. You know, what did we eat? We ate something. Man, where's your clothes? I mean, I could just imagine the conversation that must have went on. But it broke that relationship with God. And then they realized they didn't have clothes on, so it broke their relationship. And then they didn't want to hear from God, so they go and hide because they heard God walking in the garden. And I kind of seen these kind of things. That broken fellowship with God, that hindrance to talking with God, that happiness kind of disappeared because of conflict. And how many of us regret those times in our lives? You know, as a pastor, I've had opportunities to spend with families during those last moments and families who, after those last moments, come and say, well, I wish I would have said this. Or I wish we could have got over this. And I see families, and it hurts. This week, I went with my dad, and, you know, my mom passed away in November, and we shared that with you guys. And I took my dad to the lawyer this week to kind of make all the final discussions about his trust and all that they have, and they don't have much, but how are they going to take care of it? And I got a brother and a sister still. And, you know, and I was talking to my dad about who's getting what, who's getting this, and, you know, and we didn't want to have any conflict after. You know, how are we going to deal with this? And who's going to do what? And my brother's going to need a place to stay, and what's my sister and I going to do? You know, are we going to, you know, and it's just like, Dad, don't worry about all that. Boom, 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 boom. You know, how do you deal with these kind of things? So why don't we look at seven things now this morning. We're going to look at seven things. Now, the first one is long, so don't think you're going to be here till 3 because I want to get out of here too, okay? You know, I'm heading out of town, so I want to get out of here too, so I'm not going to keep you to 3. But the first one is rather long because it kind of lays the foundation for all the others, you know. But we will get out of here sometime today. All right? But what are seven things that you can do to help you resolve those relationships? I want you to learn this. And listen, you know, I have this on a half sheet of paper for a reason. You know, it fits in the bulletin nice. No, that's not the reason. All right? The reason it's a half sheet of paper is when you go home, I want you to take it and put it in your Bible. Because I guarantee you, you're going to need what you're going to talk about today. Because we're in a world where there is conflict. And if you never have a conflict in your life, I don't know what you did right. Let me know, all right? Because some of the things we're going to talk about, I really think can equip you for when those times come. If you're married, if you're going to get married, if you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever it is, how do you deal with that time when things aren't comfortable? Yeah. What do you do during those times? And so quick 6-7 things. The first one, and like I say, it's a rather long one, take the initiative, all right? Take the initiative. You have to be the peacemaker. You got to be the one that steps up and says, we need to deal with this. Let me tell you, conflict does not resolve itself. All right? Time does not heal all wounds. Anybody ever hear that statement? Time heals all wounds? I'm going to ask you, if you got a splinter in your finger, right? Anybody ever get a splinter? You get a splinter in your finger. What if you leave it there and say, oh, time's going to heal it? Just give it some time. It'll heal. If you just leave that splinter in there, let's say it's a redwood splinter too. Splinter. You know. Now, those who don't know, redwood's poisonous and it can cause you an infection. All right. What if you leave it there? It's just a splinter. Time heals all wounds. It'll be okay. Let's just give it some time. I want to tell you, conflict does not resolve accidentally. It does not resolve in time. It's not going to just happen to just kind of float away someday. Time does not heal all wounds. We need to take some initiative in the midst of conflict. We need to get it out there on the table. Like I said, my mom passed away, and my brother right now has some health issues, and he is going to need a place to stay. And I talked to my sister already. It's like, Vicky, when Dad passes away, he's 81, it's just a reality. Dennis is going to need a place to stay. Now, I have no problem letting him stay there. In the house, keep the house. We don't need to sell the house right away. We don't need to do anything like that. He lost his marriage. He's got health issues. He lost his home. You know, how do you deal with it? So I took the initiative to talk to my sister. My sister told me the same thing. And then I talked to my dad. Because my dad, after I brought it up, my dad goes, I was kind of worried about that. See, we need to take the initiative in these relationships. We need to jump into this. Now, I'm going to tell you, it is not easy to do. All right? It's not easy. As a matter of fact, if you're in my shoes, anybody here ever have to apologize for something? Anybody? You ever have to go up and say, well, I'm sorry? You know? Isn't it? It's just so easy. You walk up, I'm sorry. Isn't it that easy? It's a little stressful, isn't it? A little hard. You know? And so, you know, there's fear, there's uncertainty, you know. But see, I want to make sure you understand something. You're not in this by yourself. When you're a child of God, you got some help. I like what the scripture says here. Look at what it says. For God has not given you the spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. I like that verse as it applies to conflict. I really think that verse has a lot to say as it applies to conflict. You know, it's 2 Timothy 1:7. And I like what it says. Listen, God didn't give you that spirit of fear, but he gave you one of power, of love, and sound judgment. When it comes to conflict, I'm going to tell you, those are things you really need. I'm going to tell you, if somebody knows that you're doing it in love and compassion, isn't it easier to take it when somebody comes up to you and lovingly puts their arm around you and says, you know what, we need to talk. I need to share some things with you. You know, that love, that power that you're not on your own, you got that Holy Spirit to help you. And then I lack that part. We're going to talk about all this sound judgment. We're going to talk about our words and all that kind of stuff. I think this verse really speaks to when you're having trouble, when that relationship is kind of tense and that conflict is just kind of that undertow. It's like, listen, yes, it's scary. Yes, it's frightening. Yes, I'm being vulnerable. When I got to go and say that, it's uncomfortable. But listen, I'm not by myself. I got some power. And if I do it in this love and I got this wisdom, it can make a difference. And so as I thought about this idea of the initiative, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to get over your fears. You got to get over your fears. Yeah. I remember one of the times I had to go and apologize to somebody and just to make it right. And I have a rule. This is one of my rules for me. The most difficult thing that I have to do that any day, I do first. All right? That's just my rule. I used to change spark plugs in my car. Anybody ever work on cars? You know, I used to change spark plugs in my car. Now, I don't like getting greasy now. I'd rather play with a computer than a car, okay? But I used to change spark plugs in the car. And you know the spark plug I changed first when I had my car? I always changed the most difficult spark plug to get to first. Because if I waited for that one, my patience would have been gone. Yeah, I did the hardest one. So I have a rule for me. During the week, you know, if I got something, I had to make a decision, it's a hard decision, I got to go do this or I got to do that, the most difficult thing I got to do during the week, I'll do Monday. And I want to do it right off the bat. Because you know what? You know, here's the thing for me. It's, you know, if I got to do this difficult thing, I got to make this difficult phone call. Maybe I have to make those difficult phone calls, you know, or those difficult. And you worry about it all day long. And you stress over it all day long. You know what I decided? I'm going to get it over with first. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Don't have to stress about it anymore. It's over. It's kind of fearful when you got to resolve this conflict. But my instincts, and what I want to encourage you, just do it first. Just chalk it up. But it is fearful. But for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. See, we need to see this in our life. Because see, if we don't resolve that, you know, that little anger can turn to resentment. And that resentment can turn to bitterness. You ever seen an 85-year-old bitter person that has garbage from their 20s? They just haven't dealt with some stuff in their lives and they've carried it all this time. Maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 15 years. And it's turned into bitter. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing that you ever did, but something somebody else did to them years ago, and yet they're still bitter and they take it out on you. See, we need to take the initiative. And yes, it's going to be fearful, but we need to jump on it. And as I thought about it and I looked at it, and I want to show you how important it is. Look at what Jesus says about it. If you're standing before the altar in the temple, giving an offering to God, this is Matthew chapter 5, and God suddenly remembers, and you suddenly remember someone has something against you. Now, I want to make sure you hear what it says. It says, you went to church today, and you're in church, and you're sitting at church, and the offering plate's fixing to go by. And you remember somebody has something against you. Not that you have something against somebody else, but you have something against somebody. Somebody has something against you. And our place getting ready to go by. That's the picture he's painting here. Leave your offering there beside the altar. I like that part, okay? Don't leave yet. Make sure you drop your offering in. Then you can leave. I'm joking, okay? Please give me some patience there. Go at once and first be reconciled to that person. Go at once and first be reconciled. I want you to show you something here. God is saying, listen, relationships are as important as worship. Relationships will mess up your worship. Didn't we already say that? He's saying you need to make sure you resolve that. That those relationships in your life are important. You know, and I read that and it's kind of like, well, wait. You know, that timing, when am I going to do it? When am I gonna approach this? Later? Whenever? God is sitting there saying, listen, it's so important, you need to deal with it. I think there's another scripture in the passage. Somebody might remember that one that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Isn't there a passage like that? You know, make sure you solve your problems before the night goes. See, we need to see this in our lives, and we need to think about that timing. I'm going to tell you something. When you deal with issues and you deal with conflict, again, this is just another insight here. You may be ready, but they may not. You know, timing makes a difference. You know, there's a time to deal with something and a time not to. Now, I've been married for 37 years. Just so you know, I calculated last week after I left. Remember, I was kind of figuring out how long last week. It is 37 years, all right? And what was funny, on the way home, we talked about it. She goes, she was trying to remember too, so I wasn't the only one, all right? And we've been married, you know. And let me tell you, I know when the time is to discuss certain things and when the time is not to discuss certain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been married know what I'm talking about? You know. So time, you got to think about, you know, yes, I got to deal with it. And God is understanding there's a time to deal with it. There's the right time. You know. It might not be the time. It might be your time, but it might not be their time. And you got to think about the time. You got to think about the place. Where are you going to do it at? You know, I give you a hint. I'm going to give you, again, these are just some insightful things that when you got to deal with some things, you know, the timing's important and that fear is there. But you got to think about that place. Is it a place where opinions can be expressed? Is it a place where emotions can be expressed? Oh, we're going to resolve our conflict. Let's go to the restaurant instead of the restaurant. Can you really be open with all the people sitting around you and say the things that maybe that need to be said? You know, we need to think about those kind of things. And I see him saying, wait a minute, think about these kinds of things. It's not going to heal themselves. You have to take the initiative. You need to be the peacemaker. It doesn't matter if it's your fault or not your fault. You need to take the initiative. And I want to encourage us here, and I want to challenge us here. But it's a challenge. God asked us to do this. This is not what Gary has a good idea about solving conflict. Here's what the Bible says. If you're standing before the altar, Take the initiative. You go and make it right. You reach out. And it's a challenge, and it's hard, but it's not going to heal itself. Time's not going to make it go away. You might as well get it on the table and talk about it. You ever hear words like that before? You ever talk like this? I was at a meeting the other day, and we were talking, and we were having some fun and just kind of joking, because we were joking like this. There's an elephant in the room that we can't talk about. Anybody ever? Some of you guys might not know what that is. It's like there's an issue, and it's just hanging over there, but there's this big old pink elephant sitting over there, but nobody look at it. You know, we're just going to ignore it. Is that how we sometimes treat our conflict? We need to acknowledge. Have you ever had a conversation like this? I talked about it last week. Again, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. Yeah, but what? There's steam coming out of the ears. We need to take the initiative. Step into those situations. Yes, there's fear. I'm not going to pretend that there's not fear. I like it because God doesn't pretend there's no fear. He says, yes, there's fear, but don't be fearful. You're not in it yourself. You're not in it by yourself. There's power, there's love, and there's sound judgment. When you walk with me, I can walk you through this situation. It may be at work and there's hard things to say. You know, it may be with a neighbor. It may be with a parent or a spouse. It may be with, I don't know, at the movie theater and somebody's texting. I don't know. That conflict is real. It's part of life. We can ignore it, or we can take the initiative. And there's fear. And just, yes, I'm afraid, but I'm going to face it. And we're going to deal with it. And we're going to get through it. And we can do that. And so I want to begin with that point. This kind of underlays everything, because I'm going to build on this, these other points, and kind of lay it out for you. But you have to understand, you have to step up. You have to resolve that conflict and deal with those issues. And it's not easy, and it is fearful, but you're not in it alone. The Holy Spirit and the power of God dwells within His believers and His followers, and you can deal with it through the power of God, through the love of God, and through sound judgment. See, now, so I challenge you there. Let's go on. Let's look at the second point here. Confess my part in the conflict. Now, these are going to go rather fast, all right? Confess my part of the conflict first. Listen, it takes two to have a problem, okay? It takes two people to have a conflict. Now, if you have a conflict in yourself and you kind of had this battle in yourself, I don't know, is that schizophrenia? I don't know. Yeah. But there's two. And most of the time, no one is 100% at fault, all right? Now, I am 99.9% right 99.9% of the time, okay? You can ask my wife, she'll tell you that. All right? That's, yeah. But there's that little 0.01%, 0.1%. where I'm wrong. I need to face the fact. Now, you know I'm being sarcastic again. I guess sometimes I got to make sure I explain that, all right? I think most of you guys that have been around long enough, you know me and know he's telling it now. Yeah. Yeah. Because it does take two. And maybe the situation in yours, maybe it is true. Maybe you are only 99.9% at fault. You're only at that 0.01 and they are 99. Take your part first. Step up. Step out and say, I take responsibility for what I said, what I did, how I acted, for whatever it is. I take full responsibility for my action. Now, I'm going to tell you again, that's hard because I'm always right. You know, if I was to ask you to do this, here's what I would say. You know that first little place right up, all that, when we talk about initiative, I was going to get you write one word down there. I'd tell you to write the word love down there somewhere. In this one, if I was going to give you one word for this part, it's called humility. Write that word humility down there somewhere. Because see, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's about, listen, I got to put myself aside. Look at what it says here in God's word. Why do you notice the little piece of dust in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the big piece of wood in your own eye? How can you say to your friend, let me take this little piece of dust out of your eye? Look at yourself. You still have that big piece of wood in your own eye. You hypocrite. First take the wood out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the dust out of your friend's eye. I like this. I have a friend of mine that's a comedian. He has a song called Log Eye. And he sings this song called Log Eye. He's got this guy with a log in his eye. And I should have brought the picture of it. He had got a little guy sitting there with a big old log sticking out. You know, isn't it so easy to see faults in others? Isn't it so easy to see problems with others? I've shared this before in the past, and I really appreciate it. I became a Christian at 17 and started going to church at 17, and I learned a lot of things that really have an impact on my life, and one of them is this, and I still appreciate this. Faults in others I do see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. Yeah. I learned that as a teenager, because, you know, again, that's sarcasm, just in case you don't get it, all right? That's sarcasm. But, you know, wait, it's 99% them, and it's 1% me, and faults in others I do see, but praise the Lord, there's none. You know, we need to step back. You know, I've had in this conflict, I do have some responsibility. Yeah. It might be just a minute, but it doesn't matter. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It doesn't matter if you're that 0.01%. You need to take the initiative. You need to step out. You need to reach out. And you need to take the initiative. And see, we need to see that in our lives, and we need to back up and realize, you know what? You guys know, again, this is me. I'm practically perfect in every way. I got a picture of me and Mary Poppins at home. Yeah. And again, but that's not the truth. The truth is I'm a sinner saved by grace. That God in his mercy looked down and seen a kid who wasn't living right. And God changed my life. But what's amazing is God changed my life at 17. I'm not what I was at 17, but I'm not what I need to be at 59. Boy. And thank God I'm not what I'm going to be when I'm 59, when I'm 60. See, God is at work in this. And so as you look at resolving your conflict, think about your part first and confess that. I liked what one church did, and I keep thinking about doing this in our church, and I don't know how it plays out, but this one church, they had like a street fair, like we have our street fair, and this one church put a confessional in, and they put a confessional in their street fair, and the confessional wasn't for people to come in and confess. The confessional was there for the church to confess the sins that it had done as a church to the people. And how they had let prejudices, and how they had let other things in the church, and other things the church had done as a church. And I kind of think, what about us? What do I need to come clean with? What do I need to set straight? So I need to look at my life and back up and not be self-centered and not be stubborn and let some things go. I wrote it this way. I just put a little note here for me. It says, I'm sorry. I was only thinking of myself. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I'm sorry. I was only thinking of myself. Boy, that can sure overcome a lot of things, can't it? You know? A lot of times, I'm sorry, but let me explain to you why I did da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I always tell my kids, and I've told my wife and all that, anytime I start explaining why I did it, then I'm really not saying I'm sorry. I'm making an excuse for what I did. Just say, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry I hurt you. That's not good enough. That doesn't work. Yeah. I'm sorry. See, just take it. Start with you. Third point now. We got one, two. Take the initiative. Accept your part of it first. Step in there. Listen for the hurt. Now, I did this one quite a bit last week. And I think, matter of fact, I've talked about it almost every week, and maybe to be in all of them, I don't know. Because like this, hurt people, all right? And so you need to listen to what's hurting. You know, a lot of times what they're saying has nothing to do to where they're hurting at. And you need to listen to where they're hurting and listen to what's going on in their heart and listen to what's happening in their life. Because it may not have anything to do with you. You know, the old story you've always heard, the guy comes home from work and he kicks the dog. Why'd he kick the dog? The dog didn't do anything, but he had a bad day at work. He took it out on the dog, or maybe he takes it out on his wife. Maybe he takes it out on his kids. Had nothing to do with all of them. So you got to look at, why are they hurting? Don't just look at what's on your side of it, what you have to say. But why are they hurting? What's behind that hurt? What's behind that pain? And what's going on? I like the scripture here in James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. We need to listen. But what do you listen for? Don't just listen to their words is what I want to make sure you understand. Listen to what's behind those words. Where are they hurting at? It may have nothing to do with what they're telling you. But they need to be heard and they need to experience it. Listen to this next scripture. Even if we believe that it makes no difference to the Lord whether we do these things, still we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. For we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. I want you to underline that part. We must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others, of those who feel these things are wrong. Let's please the other fellow, not ourselves, and do what is for his good, and thus build up the Lord. I like that little phrase, be considerate. What are their doubts and fears? What's going on? Why are they? Is there some fear going on behind this? Is there an issue going on behind this? Is there a history? Yeah. I really believe that a lot of times people can get upset. It has nothing to do with me. It may be the color of shirt I wear because it's just, or it may be just the way somebody comb their hair. You ever see somebody you think you know? Laura and I were out Friday and I seen somebody and I'm going, I know that guy. And it's like, I know that guy. And so I went over and talked to his wife. That's me, you know. And he had went up to the place to get some napkins. And so I went over and said, the kids had spilt something that kind of splashed on her purse. And so I was talking with her and I said, I think I know your husband. He came back. He's a CPA. Well, he's a CPA and does things for the school district. But, you know, sometimes I believe, you know, you can have your hair parted the right way or your hair combed the right way or your face does such a thing and it reminds them of somebody that hurt them long ago and now they're taking it out on you. It had nothing to do with you. I really believe that. So you got to look past that hurt. What's causing that hurt? Listen for that hurt. You know, there's doubts, there's fears. What's going on in their life? You know, it goes back to what I've said again, those three B's. Remember those three B's? The background, the battles, and the burdens that they're going through. What's causing that hurt? And see that hurt. Fifth thing. Is it the fourth thing now? I've lost count. We're just going to keep going. Consider their perspective. Consider their perspective. Look at things through their eyes. Think about it through their eyes. You know, what did they hear you say? How did they hear you say it? Was there an attitude? What's going on? Look at things from their perspective. Look at what it says here in Philippians 2, 4 and 5. Do not be interested in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. It's saying, see things from those others' perspective. Look at it from their ideas. Look at it from their side. They may not see it the same. And so look at it from their side. What do they see? How are they seeing it? You know, you ever have this old you ever hear this old Chinese saying? Seek to understand before being understood. Anybody ever hear that one? Or how about this one? This one was, looked it up. They said if it's an Indian said it, all sorts of people said it. You know, you never understand somebody till you walk a mile in their own moccasins. Anybody ever hear that saying? Yep. It's saying, wait a minute and look at it from their perspective. You know, what are they hearing you say? What did they see you do? Did they see the background of why you did it? Did they understand all of that? Kind of stop and look at it. Yeah. And I kind of looked at it this way. Are you only interested in your side? Are you interested in being right? You know what? I don't care about the relationship. I'm interested in being right. I'm right. They're wrong. It doesn't matter. All that matters is they're wrong and I'm right and I'm going to prove it. Doesn't that work? That really solves relationships, doesn't it? Does it, you know, or is it being right or the relationship more important? We got to look at that. Are we interested in them? Are you interested in their needs? Are you looking at it from their perspective? Conflict is a reality. What are we going to do when we face it? How do we deal with it? Let's go on. Oh, I like this one. Tell the truth. But I'm not going to stop there. Tactfully. Tell the truth tactfully. You ever ready to say something like this? I got to tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not. Anybody ever tell you something like that? I'm going to tell you the way it is. It doesn't matter what you think. It does matter. We need to speak the truth in love and in a loving way. Look at what the scripture says here in Ephesians 4:15. Instead, as we lovingly speak the truth, we will grow up in complete relationship to Christ, who is the head. So we need to speak the truth tactfully. We had a saying, maybe you've heard this one, if you can't say anything nice, oh, see, you guys got it. All right, you guys have it together there. But we got to learn to say things tactfully. Look at this next scripture. Careless words, Proverbs 12:18. Careless words stab like a sword, but the words of a wise people bring healing. Careless words. Don't use words to beat people up. I think sometimes we take words and we use them as clubs. And we beat them up. Because I'm going to tell you something. I know the words to say. You know, we're going to take a drive this afternoon. And I know the words I can say that, man, sparks could fly. And all it takes is one or two words. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I can get in that car with my wife and say, blah, 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 blah. And the drive up there will be silent. All right? The car might be full of smoke and everything else, but it would be silent. We all know those words we could say to that spouse, to that friend, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that we all know that parent. We all know those words we could say that could just... We need to watch those careless words. We need to be careful with our words. We need to think before we... Boy, you guys are good. Yeah. And we need to think about those kind of words. And do the people hear our love? Do they hear our compassion? Do they hear what we're saying? Look at what it says again in Ephesians 4:29. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. I'm not just talking about bad words, all right? Four-letter words, all right? Let's say what they are. I'm not just talking about four-letter words. I'm talking about words that hurt, words that cut, words that cause pain. We need to watch those words that we use and how we use those words and how serious those words are in our lives. And we need to pay attention to that. And if we don't, we're going to hurt people. Is what I'm going to say going to be helpful or hurtful? Here's again another principle for Gary. Now, again, these are just principles for Gary I've kind of shared along the way. I believe it kind of fits with what the Bible says, but I can't quote you a verse that substantiates it. But you know what? In the midst of things, if it's not going to solve the problem or make the relationship better, you know what? I'm not going to say it. I'm serious. If it's, you know, if there's some conflict and there's some issues and there's some things that really need to be dealt with, and maybe we've tried to approach that subject and maybe we kind of talked about it, and it's at a point where, you know what? It's just not going to change. I'm not going to bring it up anymore. If it's not going to help, I'm just not going to do it. Isn't that kind of what that verse says? Does it do any good just to keep bringing it up? Kind of beating them with the club with those words? And so I think we need to kind of back up and slow down. Let's go on. Fix the problem, not the blame. Most of us play the blame game. But I'm going to tell you, it goes all the way back to the beginning. I love the Bible. You need to know I love the Bible. The stories. Now, when I say they're stories, they really happened, okay? You need to know, I believe there was a place called the Garden of Eden, all right? I believe there was two people, one called Adam and one called Eve. I believe that. I believe they took of the fruit they shouldn't have took, and they ate that fruit. I believe God come walking in the garden. And I believe this happened, and I just, what'd you eat? She gave it to me. She gave it to me. As a matter of fact, if it's not her fault, you made her. Take your pick, God. It's either her or you. It's your fault. You know, let's blame somebody. You know? Well, Eve, well, God, that serpent there. Yeah. He did it. It's his fault. See, this blame game has been going on forever. Don't play the blame game. Quit, you know, fight the problem, not the blame. See, too often we make the issue the people and not the problem. Do you hear what I'm saying? Too often we make the people the problem and they're the issue instead of the problem being the situation and not the people. We got these people tagging all around Slide, and like I say, they've been hitting our church. I know how to solve the problem. I can solve the problem. Shoot them, right? No, all right? No, all right? I'll tell you how to solve the problem. If we win them to Jesus Christ, they'll change their lives and their lifestyles from now on, and not only will they not tag, but they might live better lives for God and be a witness for Jesus Christ. Which would be better? Instead of dealing with the problem and making them the problem is their behavior. The problem's not them. Yeah. See, we got to understand that. You know, too often we assign them as a problem. And then we blow them up. I like this right here. But now also put these things out of your life. Anger, bad temper, doing or saying things in hurt to hurt others, and using evil words when you talk. He's saying quit doing those things of blaming. Really focus on the problem. Watch what you say. Watch how you say it. I meant to say this earlier. You know, there's some words that you should never use. If you're married, I'm going to give you a word to never say. Listen to me. If you're married, here's a word you should never say. I never have. I've been married 37 years, and I've never said this word to my wife. Divorce. Never. Now, murder? Maybe. I'm joking, all right? Yeah, I told you, I told her, you know, we've joked about this. It's like, you know, if you get a divorce, it's really hard to get a church and to minister. But if you murder somebody, it's pretty easy to get back into the ministry. And we would kind of tease each other about this. But that's just not a word in our vocabulary. I'm not, that's a WMD, a word of mass destruction. There are words you should not use. You guys need to talk about those words that you just cannot say. There are words, like I said, I'm going to get in this car and I'm going to drive with my wife. There are words I would never say to my wife. Because I just don't, they're just not helpful. I'm not going to make her the problem. Because honestly, those of you who know me and my wife, you know who the problem is, right? Yeah, see? Yeah. It's just the reality, but we got to watch those words that we use, and who are we going to blame? And, you know, if you wouldn't have did this, and if you hadn't did this, and you should have did this, and does that really solve anything? It's your fault. Here's what I'm going to say. You got to reach a point where this is the question. What's important to you? The issue, the problem, or the relationship? Like I say, dealing with this stuff with my dad, my mom passing, and dealing with all these things. You know what's important to me? It's my brother and sister. Yeah, my dad's got some stuff. I got one thing that we always joke about. There's one thing they have that I'm getting. And my sister and I have discussed this, and my brother, they all know it. I got a great-grandmother clock that belonged to my great-grandmother. I want the clock. And it's so funny. They all know it. The clock's Gary's. The clock's Gary's. Yeah. Outside of that, I don't care. Because what's important to me is my brother and sister. That's what's important to me. You got to decide what's important. Is it the problem or the person? And we need to battle those issues. I've seen it as a pastor. I see it too often. I've walked down that path with individuals. And it breaks my heart to see families broken and relationships destroyed because they make the problem the people. Let's not assign blame. Let's solve the problem. Let's get to the last one. Focus on reconciliation, not resolution. This is important because this kind of wraps it all together. Reconciliation is the reestablishment of a relationship. All right? That's what reconciliation means. We're gonna reestablish our relationship. It might be a little different because of the hurt and the pain and what's went on. The relationship might be a little different, but we're gonna reestablish that relationship. The dynamics might be different. It might take a little while to build the trust and all that, but we're gonna have a relationship. But resolution says we solved all the problems and everybody's happy and there's no more issues and we don't disagree on anything. Well, I'm gonna tell you, if you find somebody that you don't disagree on anything, that's a miracle. I've said I've been married 37 years. You think Laura and I agree on everything? I love Taco Bell. How far does that fly? I'd eat at Taco Bell every night, all right? I mean, you can have tacos one night and burritos another night and a smothered covered another night. I mean, you could eat, it's different. It's all different. Yeah, it's all Mexican, but it's all different. If I get Mexican food, I usually get it 2 or 3 times a week, though. You know? Do we agree on everything? You're never going to agree. You can't come to a resolution on everything. So you work for reconciliation. Look at what it says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. See, we live in this world that is jacked up, all right? This world is messed up. And I got news for you. It's not going to change. It's not a reality. I mean, politically, it's jacked up. Racially, it's jacked up. Internationally, it's jacked up. Jobs, work, families, it's tough. Relationships are tough. And it's hard. And there's going to be conflict. Will we be peacemakers? It's not going to go away. If we just wait a little longer, it'll get better. I think these 7 things are really great. And it's what God says. These aren't just Gary's great ideas. You know, if you guys don't come to hear Gary's great ideas, I told you some of Gary's great ideas. Vengeance of mine saith the Lord, but Gary gets even. That's Gary's great idea, all right? Yeah. But God's ideas, you know, take the initiative. You know, take your part first. You know, hey, man, it started with me. You know, it started with my attitude. You know, take that initiative. You know, speak that truth in love. You know, watch those words. Listen to that hurt. You know, I think these are great. I want you to, I'm sure, I think you need to put this away because you're going to have to deal with conflict in your life. You're going to have to deal with conflict. So what are you going to do? See, I want to challenge you to be a peacemaker, to be reconciled. You know, as I was preaching this morning, I am sure some of you sat here this morning and somebody's name came to your mind. You know, I'm sure some of you this morning, you're sitting here and I started talking about conflict in relationships and you just went back to that neighbor, that boss, that spouse, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that parent that's driving you crazy, that whatever. And your mind went back to that. What will you do? What will you do? See, I want to challenge us to be peacemakers because that's what God called us to do. Yes, there's fear, and yes, it's hard. But I'm going to tell you, when one area of your life is messed up, you cannot just put it on a side and say, that'd be okay. You know, I got this one bad relationship, and I'm going to push it over here, and I'm just going to go over here, and everything else is going to be good. I'm going to tell you, it's like you have a garden. And you just, well, I got this beautiful garden, but I got one weed over here, and I'm just going to let that weed stay there. Yeah. Anybody got a lawn with dandelions in it? I hate those dandelions. I tell you, you know, they just get more and more. And the kids love to play with them. That's what makes it bad. You know, pull it up. Whew, yay, the kids have fun. And it's like, now I got to kill more dandelions. But that's what happens with conflict. It's like we put it over on the side and we think, I can deal with it over here, but everything else over here is good. I'm going to tell you, it blows across. It blows across. I'm going to ask you to be a peacemaker. Because if it's just one little part, one little sliver, it's not going to heal itself. Bottom of the page, I put it this way. It is always more rewarding to resolve the conflict than to dissolve the relationship. It's always more rewarding to resolve the conflict than to dissolve the relationship. So I challenge you. Will you be a peacemaker? Will you make peace? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you in your wisdom and knowledge that you made peace with us. That while we were still rebellion and still as sinners, as your word calls it, that you sent Jesus Christ to die for us, that we can have a relationship with you. That you did not wait for us to make the first move. That you initiated it with Jesus on the cross that died. That anyone here, that everyone can be a child of God. I thank you for that. But Lord, help us do the same with those that are about us. Lord, there's neighbors. There's friends. There's family. There's parents. There's spouses. There's husbands. There's wives. That's caused tremendous hurt in families and caused tremendous breakup in homes and caused conflict that is unresolved. You know, as I'm praying right now, just heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you want me to pray for something in your life. Maybe there's a broken relationship. Maybe there's an unresolved conflict. You want me to pray? Would you just raise your hand? I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see him. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen some lifted up hands, and as those hands went up, I know hearts went up. There's conflict, and there's issues, and it hurts, and there's pain. And so, Lord, I lift these up to you. Minister to them, Lord. If they need to take the initiative, empower them. Let your love, let those words and those kind words flow forth, Lord, and just touch their hearts with how to approach it and how to walk through these days and to mend those relationships. Encourage them, Lord. Encourage all of us, Lord, in the midst of our relationships. Lord, help us be peacemakers in a messed up world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.